Okay, so we just watched Cobra. Lane never seen it. He was another Cobra virgin, as it were.
You popped your Cobra cherry. How do you feel?
Great.
Do you feel like you're the cure?
Are you the disease? I think one of the the first time I saw it, I thought it was really cool. I was like, yeah, this movie's so bad.
It kind of bored me when I first saw it.
It's super boring. It's more boring every time I see it now. There's really not a lot that happens in it until the end where they kill 100 people.
Exactly.
But it's not awesome killing 100 people in Blood Rain. It's
just a whole bunch of guys on motorcycles skidding out.
Skidding out every time they shoot them. What's funny is that everyone is killing each other from miles away in this movie with shotguns and snub nose 38s. They're shooting each other from 100 feet and everyone's falling over.
In Cobra, Marion Cobretti.
It seems like they're trying to make this statement about.
Who has no backstory and no need to be so offensively obsessive about everything. And also, not only that, but they don't really have a reason why the other captain above him is.
You mean Garrick?
Yeah. Why he's so, angry at Cobretti all the time?
I think it's one of those things where it's Cobretti is, the winner, and he's like
the... Are you talking about the guy that got punched out?
Yeah. Okay. He's the idealist that wins and makes it work, and Garrick was probably the idealist when he started, and eventually became, part of the system, part of the flawed, corrupted system. Right. He puts Cobra on the zombie squad. He pushes him to do the things that he can't do. And it bothers him because it's Cobretti's a loose end. If Cobretti wanted to go to the rat squad on it, then he could just turn him over and that'd be it. And he'd lose his pool and his wife would leave him, right. His girlfriend would leave him because he's probably cheating on
his phone.
Yeah, of course. I plan on having both.
So,
I don't know about you.
Here's the biggest mystery of the movie is that he's part of the zombie squad, right? And here's how many times he's mentioned. 4 different times, right? Mm-hmm. So first they mention, hey, Cobra, he's on the zombie squad. And then someone else another time says, what are you talking about? You're stuck on the zombie squad. And then later on, a guy mentions it and the girl says, what's the zombie squad? He says, it's the bottom line. And at the very end, the captain goes, hey, if you want, I can get you off the zombie squad.
Something a little easier.
No thanks, I just want to punch out this other captain.
Yeah.
I just want my car back. Yeah, he goes, hey, man, I'll get you anything you want. I can even get you off the zombie squad. And he's like, no, I just want my car back. He's like, can't do it. And he walks away.
Not in the budget. It was kind of a realism to it, though. It was he did want something, and then they were like, oh, you really can't do that. So the most realistic part of Cobra, mm-hmm. which is by and large pretty realistic, I would say. So basically the premise here, or the subtext, if you will, is that there's... this is the 80s, and this is when things are getting really bad with urban crime and things. And it was, a lot of liberal judges were letting people go. They were saying, oh, you're crazy. You can just go to a halfway house and continue to rape children and whatever else.
Because we'll put them in the house with you.
Exactly.
Easy access.
It's right next to the school.
We'll help
and
you
everything.
Rehabilitate yourself by giving you plenty of children
it's right
rape
next
just
to the
in
school.
Case.
Get out of their system.
Just work through it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to give them younger and younger children, wean them off of.
Mm-hmm. They just give them a bag full of sperm.
Once he realizes he doesn't like that anymore, he'll be like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
I can just rape 30-year-olds now.
Yeah, I'm rehabilitated.
Older and older children.
Yes.
I think we should do something fun with these. Since Blaine doesn't talk a lot, and since it's so boring for us to do a plot, Blaine, just kind of briefly tell us what happens in the plot of Cobra.
Can't put me on the spot here.
Well, no, I mean, it's easy.
I wasn't paying attention to the movie.
You were.
I wasn't even watching it.
Basically, what happened?
These guys, they're part of the Axe Gang, right? Right?
That's what I call them. It's some cult.
Yeah, some cult. They
basically meet at a fish beheading plant to bang axes together. Bang axes. And you can tell they're equal opportunity.
That's just so irrelevant, though, because you never even...
Yeah.
The only,
Because you see, the outlines of all these people, and then you see, a bald older guy in a business suit.
Yeah, it's we're everywhere.
They believe that they're of every walk.
It's the whole Fight Club thing.
Yeah, it's the Fight Club thing. It's the religious cult from AA, First step is admitting you don't have any power over the Axe Gang. Second step is admitting that, you need to turn yourself over to the power of the fish beheading plant and stuff.
Yeah, the only thing, like, I think they only did that, you know, the thing.
The ting-ting, yeah.
Just so they could have those axe tattoos, because that's the only time you ever see
it. Yeah, it's a standard. That's two axes facing each other.
It's a standard.
Yeah. And then they have
gone around asking people, it's two axes facing each other.
A standard.
Yeah, they had that one graffiti thing. It kind of reminded me of that Death Clock skeleton.
Yeah, I'm sure Death Clock was referencing some Cobra stuff every now and again. So basically it's like urban decay and major insane crime and the zombie squad. I guess it could be that they're graveyard, or it could just
That's what I thought it meant. It was a graveyard.
But I think it means a lot of what it's similar to. We were talking about Street Kings. There's a group of guys that just kind of they do what they need, what the police department needs done. This is the LAPD. Basically,
were all part of Vice. Like, there's different. There are actually different departments in LAPD. It's interesting to watch in movies how they show LAPD, because some of them, David Ayer's stuff is extremely, like, close to what it actually is. LAPD is different from LAPD and New York PD are so different from any other police department in the nation, because they have New York has their own things, different things with precincts, and then a head commissioner that leads over the whole thing, and LA doesn't have a commissioner, it just goes up to the chief, and they don't have departments or precincts, they have divisions, and each division, they're like different offices where people are, and then the different divisions are split up between those offices and other offices, and there's specific ones for Vice, specific ones for narcotics, it's not just all people in the same precinct, like in New York you have different people from all those different departments inside the same building, and you don't have that in LAPD, which is really weird.
Yeah.
But they all still, like, see each other.
Yeah. You know, socially at barbecues and things like that.
Exactly. At the cop bar they all go to. In every movie there's a cop bar, except for this one. Who's that badass over there? You don't know? That's Cobra.
It's a cop.
He's on the zombie squad. What's that?
It's the bottom line.
It's the bottom line, which in corporate terms basically means that they maintain... I mean, from watching The Wire, you know enough about cop... You understand that, like, basically it's about their statistics. It's about their stats and their... I always blank on the term. I don't know why. But they basically need to have their stats such a way. So, you know, if there's a serial killer, the mayor's...
The quota?
The quota or whatever. The mayor's riding the ass of the
chief. They have to kill so many people.
No, they have to take the guys out so these crimes stop. So, you know, if it's a whole fish beheading plant full of people...
Full of axe gang.
Full axe gang. Then there's a lot of people that somebody never
saw a businessman
out.
Like riding a motorcycle or anything.
Oh, well, he was probably weekend warrioring at that point.
Like everyone else ran off to the gunfight. He was like, "Guys, I got to get back to work. I'll see you on Saturday for the meeting because I have a presentation.
The fish I'm taking my kids to Disneyland.
So continue with the plot. Tell us what happens at the very beginning. Here's the thing. That's the part of the movie where, like, that's what they used to do in movies. They would introduce the main character by putting him
in a
short situation that has nothing to do with the rest of the plot. Exactly. That has nothing to do with the rest of the plot.
No, Tang and Cash is carried to the plot. And this one did too, because he was part of the Axe Gang.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the... He believed in the brave tattoo. New World.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he always said, yeah, this is part of the New World, man.
It's like a James Bond thing. It's like it's sort of standalone, but it's still kind of related
to... It has a slight link to it. The Tango and Cash one was a little different just because it just happened to have the same guy with the big jaw.
Yeah. Well, no, he was transporting the drugs for Cohagen or whatever.
That's right, yeah, because then they drive by in their limo.
Yeah,
because they were closely following
Cohagen and his two friends came for
just
a baby.
Just in case they got busted, they wanted to be nearby so they could be implicated.
Thought.
Or
Tango and Cash. And Cash, shut up. Get me my mice. that was way better than Cobra.
And you hated Tango and Cash.
It's terrible. It is more enjoyable than Cobra, I think.
I think, yeah.
Cobra's got some good stuff in it. I'll tell you, this is enjoyable. Oh, I greatly love RoboCop.
With Murphy and the baby food?
Yep. I was watching it again last night. Oh, we'll talk about that in a while.
Okay.
So, there's that thing where they get all the product placement out of the way early. Because
nice and early.
He goes into the store, and then they have, like, all Pepsi, the
Pepsi and Coors.
Yeah, and then he walks by a shelf of Jack Daniels also.
Oh, I missed that.
But, like, in his apartment, there was a giant neon Pepsi sign.
No, it was outside of it, He rented it out, I guess, or something.
Some little things that I like that happen in it are... He drives up to the angry Mexicans outside his place, and he honks, and he's like, "Hey." They're like, "What?" You know, because it's like a public street, you know? And he's like, "Hey." And so they don't move because they shouldn't, you know, because it's a public street. And so he shoves them out of the way, and the guy starts swearing at him in Spanish, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he smacks his car a little bit on the fender, which angers Cobretti, mm-hmm. because you can only smack his bumper, which he moves cars out of the way with. You can't smack the fender, right? And so he says something to him. What does he say? He's like...
Like, you got to clean up your act.
Yeah, he tells him you got to clean up your act. And then he grips the top of his wife beater, and he rips the front of his shirt off.
And the guy learns his lesson.
Like, hey!
He's like, I deserve that. You're right.
And then he walks away. And then, inexplicably, a couple nights later, he comes driving up, and he honks. And they're like, hey, hold on. And
let me move my car.
He gets his car, and then he moves it a little bit, which is, like, ridiculous, because... The guy was still pissed at him the first time after he bumped his car away. He was furious. And he goes back to his friends like, oh, I'm going to get that guy later. The next time, he just, like, moves his car.
He learned his lesson. He wised up.
And then he says, like, you're a good citizen or something.
Yeah, like, to rub it in even more. Yeah. Like,
thanks for obeying me.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of thing.
Pretty much calling him a bitch. Mexican.
That bothered me.
Yeah. Makes sense, though.
He had a pretty cool car, and he ripped it up, too.
Yeah, they beat the shit.
And hey, what did his license plate say?
Awesome 50. Pretty cool. Awesome 1 through 49 were already taken.
I think it was probably a 1950.
Oh, right.
What if he sat there in the DMV going, what about Awesome 1? It's taken. What about Awesome 2? It's taken. What about Awesome 3? What if he just did that for like 15 minutes until the person was like, we have Awesome 50. Oh, take it.
Alright.
It should have said Zombie Squad or something. ZMB.
But isn't that like temporary or something?
Yes.
Wasn't it temporary, like, to be on Zombie Squad?
No.
Zombie Squad is eternal. Cobretti's
been living there. He got his own... He got his own gear, he got his own computers and his files.
His whole house is a police station. His
clear whiteboard that he can make notes about, where people have been killed.
He's got this submarine board that he's got like a grid of the Atlantic Ocean on
radar system.
He can pick which trench he needs to navigate around
in
his gigantic boat of a car. And then he's got like computers, and that's the one funny thing is he says, yeah, I'm gonna check some files against the database at my place, and you think he's got like boxes of files, right? But he's actually
got honest to goodness computer,
like police system. Computers, which like with like the little 8-inch monitors,
and the dual ones. Yeah. You can like do compared, like analysis,
find the files, contrast. Enter,
you can compare and contrast King Lear and Hamlet.
Uh-huh.
That's what he does most of the time.
And then he enhances images and stuff.
And of course, he cuts off small rectangles and pizza, which we mentioned.
No, they're triangles, actually.
Sorry, triangles. And he doesn't eat them with a knife, like I remembered, but he does cut them off.
He cuts them with scissors.
Well, the most annoying thing is, like, so he gets his cases of...
You get this guy drunk enough, he'll cut a pizza with scissors.
I always do.
It happened. Yeah. We have a recording of it somewhere. Yeah.
The sound of him cutting pizza.
Well, he tried.
It goes.
Dunk. It was.
Then you hear mom,
mom, mom, mom, mom, mom, mom.
I think he's like, it didn't work. Yeah, I think you had the gloves on too when you did it.
I might have had gloves on.
Yeah, you really hammed it up for that.
What's another funny thing is, so he's there like typing away at his database, and it cuts to him later like typing still, and he's like sweating and stuff, and he goes to wipe away the sweat. And he's still wearing like his leather jacket and leather gloves. Like, if he's that hot, why is he still wearing that stuff in LA? Plus, with his stupid glasses inside.
But it is Christmas time, so it's probably after that warm in LA. Yeah.
Like, what's the point of that?
I don't know.
Just so you can
It's his typing gloves.
He puts on a. Oh, man.
They're ergonomic. A bunch of different tactile
gloves for every reason.
Tactile typing gloves, yeah.
We've got like sandpaper, like grip on it. So
here's the basic grasp plot.
The keys.
So he goes into a supermarket, he kills the guy.
Right, but the guy was trying to broadcast a message.
Yeah, on the way out, one of the reporters goes,
"New order."
A very objective reporter goes, "Hey, man,
probably someone from CNN.
CNN that they're just slightly less right wing.
What makes you think you can be judge and jury?
Yeah.
So Democracy Now comes up to him.
He's from The Guardian.
The Guardian.
And he comes up and he says that whole thing, and he says. Oh, yeah? And then he, like, violates the corpse of, like, you can't show dead bodies, I think, on TV and stuff. And, like,
tell that to his
tell this to this guy's family who's watching this live on TV and just realized he's dead. Tell it to them. And the guy's like, oh, damn.
He's like, oh, looks like an asshole.
That's right. He learned his lesson, yeah.
He didn't really learn his lesson. He just couldn't say anything. You know,
yeah.
If you,
yeah, right. What do you say after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he'd be like,
Cobra.
I was like, I'd want to tell his wife and kids that. It's not my place.
He goes, you're right. I don't think I'd like to. I apologize. And then the guy you keep calling Grimwald or whatever his name is, Wallace and Gromit.
Garrick
comes up and he's like, hey, Cobra, you son of a bitch. What's going on here?
I'll have your badge for this one, Cobra.
Yeah. And then so then they bump it up a notch and go to the captain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the captain's like, I've had enough of your shenanigans, Cobra, but damn it, you get the job done. And then, like, the next time the Cobra messes up, which mostly he just messes up throughout the movie. It's not really his fault, but,
well, it's
like,
excessive force just, and all that kind
they
of stuff.
They underestimate the Axe Gang.
The Axe Gang keeps getting away, is what happens. Mm-hmm. And they keep smashing up stuff in the process. And they never do the thing like, you cost the force $40 million. Mm-hmm. You know, I got the mayor breathing down my neck,
there,
you
there never was
bitch.
Any, like, serious consequences, really. Yeah. They're just like, And he's like, you got a bad attitude. And he's like, yeah.
That's the one thing the one guy says, you have a bad attitude.
Yeah.
And he goes, just a little one. Like, really smart ass.
It was like this big, too, wasn't that?
Right.
It wasn't.
He gives it a fair 4 inches.
Yeah, that's about as big as his confidence is, huh?
Yeah.
Confidence?
His confidence is just about 4 inches. Would you say this enlarged your confidence? Oh, it made my dick bigger.
That special part of the male body?
That special part of the male body that rhymes with cock.
Rhymes with sock.
Yeah. No, just cock. And so then next time he gets bumped up a notch, they go to the chief, right? And then the chief's like, you're crazy, Cobretti. You got a bad attitude, right? And then that other guy's like, I'm telling you, he's a loose cannon. We really need to nip this in the bud. And then the middle captain is like, you're still good, Cobra. Like, he's still in my good books. Like, one of them is like, it's really like the good captain, bad captain thing.
Yeah,
they got
kind
going
of,
on with Cobra
yeah.
to try to keep him in check. And then eventually they go to the Emperor of the World, who's like, who's in another office somewhere. And there's all four of them in there. And they're all yelling at Cobra.
With Michael Bay dollies
and
stuff.
Yeah, the constant dolly. That was weird. Like, that was really weird. When you mentioned that, I noticed that just nonstop dollying around the room in different angles. And then he had a bad attitude.
It was just the way that George P. was figuring out. He's like, we got a lot of people in this scene. The only way I think to do it is rather than doing like a establishing in this weird locale with the glass, we'll just set up dolly track and we'll just keep rolling around and whatever.
So then you also have a... is it pre-Red Sonja or post-Red Sonja, Bridget Nielsen?
I believe it's probably pre, because she couldn't carry something on her own like this.
Well, this was 86, I think. So when was...
Check the
IMDb. Red Sonja, maybe it was 87. It was 85. So Red Sonja was her starring role before this.
Oh.
That made her. And this just established her. So anyway, then the movie turns into this cat and mouse thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's the evil cop lady who's the insider.
Mm-hmm.
And she somehow gets put on their crew.
Like, I seriously
really
think
shifty looking.
The one time you hear her really talk, she sounds, that first time at least, she totally sounds like a post-op
like, she does, yeah.
And
she
I think maybe
the
there was a whole,
like... Cart, like
yeah, but then she talked to Cobra, she's like, you're doing a good job. And she sounded normal.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah,
I think they maybe
weird.
Gave up on that then or something.
Well, maybe, like, that's her real, you know, evil
kind
her
evil
of
voice is dark and low. Yeah.
She's a tranny.
She goes, I know where she is. I can kill her for you. And then he answers by cutting his finger.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I'll do it.
Then he's like, oh, that was a bad idea. I can't bend it.
He was going to eat an orange. He was going to pull Blaine and eat an orange.
Yeah.
From now on, eat an orange
really
is known as pull a Blaine.
Blaine could eat an orange for hours.
Red eyes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm too busy.
So then anyway, it changes.
He hasn't been in anything in a while.
And they cut to all these different things where they keep showing her all shifty-eyed.
It's Angels in the City.
And there's Angels, and that was way before.
I think I need that.
Angels.
Towel. Look at this.
No, look, you can just touch the paper towel you have there.
I don't know.
Was he an animal?
Yeah,
some kind of fucking animal here? You did that wrong. You never start with that end.
Now he blows up Ed 209 with a gigantic gun.
There. And then you can stick your thumb in that side and you can pull it open. Yeah, I know. I haven't seen this in a long time. I actually want to watch
now
it.
Now you're
going
to show people how to open oranges, too?
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it works.
It'll work this one of these days.
I just wanted to get it all done before.
I'll win one of these days, damn it. I'm not going to win ever. Oh, well.
Let's talk about that, Ian.
Let's talk about RoboCop.
Okay, so anyway, the end of Cobra is they drive off down into some orange groves, and there's some music playing, and Marion Cobretti lives, and everyone else
lives. Well, they have a fight at a foundry town. I think a lot of the... I can see where there's, like, places that they just didn't...
The world's crappiest sniper is after them.
They didn't work the... Yeah, Steve Carell.
He has a few chances, and he freezes.
He's not confident.
Stupid, because they, like, make a huge deal out of him. I know. They, like, dedicate a whole scene.
I think, like... I think there was like, a lot of backstory. I think there's a post-op tranny, is that what that one lady is, and there's a whole weird pseudo-sexual, like, deviant thing with her and Brian Benben or whatever. No, Brian Jones or Bosworth.
Brian Johnson.
Yeah, the main bad guy. And then obviously Steve Carell as the shooter that's not confident enough. I really feel like they didn't play the corruption and weirdness of the Axe Gang.
They did. They actually, one thing in an actual real screenwriting and directing note that they didn't do well in the second half was the first half they start setting up like, hey, it burned out. Like, this will be interesting. This will be interesting to see how this develops with this like weird cult thing, and then they just kind of reach a point where it just cuts off, and they
the cult
suddenly
turns into an axe. Well, they suddenly just a motorcycle
kill,
gang,
and they
yeah.
suddenly just want to kill the girl who saw them, you know, who saw them that they didn't kill. Like they've killed everyone who's seen them ever, and now they saw one, and the guy just gets obsessed with it. And they don't really go into that enough to make it like important, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I felt like that's disappointing. I honestly feel like this movie could be remade and better if they just modified
it. It'd be better. It'd probably also be PG-13 and have Tom Welling in it.
I don't see it being PG-13. Tom. Oh, you mean Superboy?
Yeah, Superman boy.
Why would Superboy be Cobretti?
You're fired. Sense
anyway. Oh, you don't watch that.
You're fired.
Never mind. It's the end of RoboCop.
Oh. Yeah.
He says, "Good shooting, son. What's your name?" And he goes, "Murphy." And it goes, "RoboCop." Dun, 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 dun. Good Conan music.
it's like
it's
the
close.
RoboCop.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I noticed. Oh, I don't want to talk dun, about it. You got to finish Cobra. So dun, in the end, Marion Cobretti wins. Everyone else dies. They drive into some orange bushes. Yada yada.
He hooks Brian.
Yeah, he hooks him. Johnson, sends him into the fire
and burns him alive.
How's that for a brave new world, you son of a bitch? He yells.
Exactly.
What he should have.
He should have, but he didn't. I mean, they didn't get into the whole, weird, like you said, Randian, like, philosophy behind, you know, strong survive and everything, which I don't really think is technically
it's
speaking.
It's not Randian.
No, not really.
Not at all. I just, anytime. Says it sounded like Aldous Huxley stuff, but it also sounds like, what's that one big one? She did Atlas. Everything kind of relates to Atlas. You can find little things that all have to do with it, since it's like a... you know, 1,200-page thing or however big it is. You're gross, dude.
What?
You go.
You can suck the phlegm off of the inside.
No,
of
I was like seeing if I could get any juice out of that thing.
No, so are we done with Cobra?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, you talked about the basic plot, but you know, there's more. There's more to it.
You didn't need to.
What else is there?
The chick really wants him like the whole time, and that doesn't make sense. Because it's like she's
a lot taller than him.
Yeah.
I kind of kissed
him. I think they did. He's very carefully cleaning his gun while aiming at her. Right. And she's like, "Come here, you." And they make out. And then you know that led to sex because then she's asleep a little bit later. Yeah. Either that or severe disappointment.
For some reason,
she's
might have gotten. Because
she's soon asleep and he's interrupted by coitus interruptus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Erectile dysfunction?
No, like by the action.
He's mid pump and he just loses his load.
No, I think because it's clear that like they're all sitting there chilling out after the fact. I mean,
right.
He probably would have lit the match too.
Yeah, probably.
Celebration.
What if
he'd be like, "Finally, I am a man."
Other people light their cigarettes. People light their cigarettes and he just lights his match.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the funniest thing would have been like, you know how if you light a match with another flame, it'll just suddenly go.
Yeah, it really goes off.
I think it would be awesome if somebody had a match in their mouth, like in Cobra, and like inexplicably you see them staring at something, and slowly a cigarette comes into frame, a burning cigarette, and they light their match with it, and it goes. Would that be great?
You put that before. Write that into your cop movie that you're writing. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
What would it be for, though? What would the match?
Because it's stupid.
Because
not just for no reason. Why would anyone have a match in their mouth? He doesn't smoke, right?
He killed somebody with it.
He keeps it around just in case?
Yeah.
Just in case he has to dump readily available gasoline on a sniper?
Uh-huh.
This
you can't knock it.
For
I mean, it
good
works,
thing.
Right?
He's like, The thing is, what he should have said.
I feel like he could have just shot the guy.
If it had been,
he was
out of bullets.
He wasn't, because he was going to get the other.
I mean, he had all those clips, but they were all empty. They were filled with matches.
If it were Arnold,
he laughed like Dennis Nedry in Jurassic Park.
When he lit the match and threw it on the guy, he said, "You know, match for me."
Yeah, he would have said something like that. No, but it was like really stupid because there was like fire all around them.
To meet you.
They were in a building.
Red get stabbed in the neck. Come on, everyone, turn around. Ah, yeah.
I can't. Fuck
you can do it. Come on. Red, come on. First, we'll stab him in the oil. Oil you. No.
Guest lecturer.
And he says something about yada yada.
Like
yada,
yada. Kicking in the air.
Oh, look at that. Here comes the glop of blood. Glop.
Peter
and then
Weller.
The squirt. Oh, he's done for. Foreman.
Dumbass.
You dumbass.